morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming this morning. After the service, we do have teas and coffees in the lounge. Everyone's welcome to stay. All the other notices should be on your notice sheet. We're going to start this morning's service with a song called "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," but it might be a different version to what most of you know. Lisa, do you want to? Lisa's just got a plea, I think. Yeah. Sorry.
Hello. Now, we are very short on leaders and assistants for Ignite. So we've currently only got 4 leaders and 3 assistants for the 2 groups. And every week we need 2 leaders and 2 assistants. So current situation, unfortunately, isn't sustainable. So please, if you're available, if you think it's of interest to you, please come and talk to me, because we just don't want to get to the point when there's a Sunday when we haven't got cover because people do go on holiday, and the children may have to stay into the service rather than being able to get teaching, worship, games at their level. So please think about it, because we can have up to 6 children in Ignite 1 and up to 16 in Ignite 2. So there is quite a few children out there, and they're amazing. So they are generally lovely children as well. So yeah, please come and talk to me. You can always come and just come and watch the sessions beforehand, before kind of committing as well. And you can always listen back to the sermon, because it's always recorded, so you're not missing out, but having a great time upstairs. So yeah, come and speak to me, find out more. Thank you.
Does any children have a birthday, either recently or coming up?
Last December.
December 25th. Or if it's their first time here.
Adam, he was 5. Your Charles is going to get him a present. Oh. What was his name? Kyron. Does anyone else have any birthdays? Okay, well, we'll sing happy birthday to Kyron anyway. Birthday. Just going to read from Revelation 17:14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. We're going to sing, have a time of worship now. We're going to start with the song The Lion and the Lamb, and followed by King of Kings. You can stand, you can sit, you can do whatever.
As broken.
like to hear with you. We thank you for who you are, for your grace and for your presence that fills the room right now. We bring our burdens to you today. We lay down our worries, our distractions and our fears at your feet. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move freely in our hearts during this service. And we pray that we will everyone be able to hear your voice clearly. So Ian's going to start to play our next song. And whilst he's playing, if anyone that just wants to say thanks or anything, just a couple of lines, then please just bring them to God now. don't need to bring much. We thank you that just by saying hallelujah and we love you, Lord, that's enough. No matter what you've done for us, that is enough for you. Amen. Okay, the children and young people are going to leave us now for their Sunday school. If there's anyone here who doesn't usually come but would like to, their children to go out, any age from any school age, then just tag along with someone else. Okay, just before Nathan brings us the preach today, we're going to sing one more song, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed sovereign. You are the sovereign Lord of hosts. That means that there is no one above you. There is no one beside you. That you are in control and you are in charge. And although we live in a democracy today, and democracy has many good benefits, but may we never lose sight that you are sovereign. Yes, we can have our say, we can have our opinions and of who we want to choose in government, who we want to vote for, and even in the church we can have democratic principles and overtones. But may we never lose sight that your church is not the origination of man. But you promised Jesus that I will build my church. Not man. Not the ideas of man. Not the thoughts of man. Not a body of a leadership team. Not a minister. Not deacons. But you said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, of Hades, will not prevail against the church. So as your subjects, as citizens of your kingdom, we come this morning to seek not our own opinion, but we've come to seek your divine will. So would you speak to us today? Speak through your holy word. We're not interested in what I have to say or what anyone else here has to say, but we've come to hear from you. So, Sovereign Lord, come and move and have your way. May you feel comfortable amongst us now and allow us not to quench the freedom and the movement of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Our God is sovereign. He's sovereign. Beautiful pre-song to lead us into God's word today. I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 13. And there is a little story here that is so appropriate for the theme of our service today, as we are talking about God being in charge, God being sovereign, sovereign over all things. And this is the start of a new sermon series, as we're going to be looking at some of the parables, the short stories in the Bible. And today we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 13, reading from verse number 6. And it reads like this. Jesus speaking told a parable, a story, and he says, a man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, this is the gardener, for 3 years now I've been coming to this garden and I've been looking for one thing. I've been looking for fruit. And on this fig tree I haven't found any. Cut it down! Why should it use up the soil? Why should it take up any space in the garden anymore? Sir, this is the gardener, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. If it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. I want to speak from this thought and this question today, church. What does God see in your tree? Would you say that with me? What does God see in your tree? And the sub-theme today is simply, where's your fruit? Where is your fruit? The first point that I want to leave with you today, friends, is simply this. Here is the situation of this short story. Number one, simply put, we are, all of us here today, are accountable to God. We are accountable to the owner. It's interesting here, friends, that the fig tree here in Luke chapter 13 occupied a position in the garden. The fig tree occupied space in the garden. The fig tree was planted in the garden. The fig tree was rooted in the garden. The tree had a position and a place within the garden, but here it is, the fig tree was not the owner of the garden. I want to say it again because I don't want us to miss this. The fig tree occupied a space in the garden. The fig tree was planted in the garden. The fig tree had roots in the garden. The fig tree had a position in the garden, but the fig tree was not in charge of the garden. The fig tree was based in the garden, but the fig tree was not the owner of the garden. Because Jesus lets us know, church, that the owner came into the garden to inspect the garden, to inspect the tree in the garden, which lets us know, friends, that the tree was accountable to the owner. And in case you've missed it, if you've missed the point of the illustration this morning, the tree in the story in Luke chapter 13 represents humanity. The tree represents you and me. And the owner that came to inspect the garden represents the sovereign God. The owner, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's why David put it this way in Psalm 24, the earth does not belong to man, but the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they, the people that occupy space in the world, we all belong to God. So we might be the owner of a house. We might have the title deed to a property, but human ownership, friends, has its limitations. As Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, what do you and I earn or gain from all of our work, which we do under the sun? And then he says in verse 4, generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. We are accountable, church, to the owner. We might hold positions of leadership in this earth. We may even hold positions of leadership within the church. But God is the owner. If you were to take a trip to number 10 Downing Street, you and I cannot just turn up and walk freely down that road. We would need an invitation. But if you were blessed and privileged to be invited to Downing Street, you would see inscribed on the letterbox of number 10 Downing Street these words: First Lord of the Treasury. First Lord of the Treasury. This was a historic title that was given to the Prime Minister of our country. First Lord of the Treasury. But here it is, church, even Keir Starmer is accountable to God. He might be the First Lord of the Treasury of our country, but he has to answer to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And even within the church, friends, we may take up and be blessed to be graced with positions of leadership, but we have to take those positions with extreme caution and humility. I never shall forget my previous pastor, Reverend Sammy Stewart. He would often say that when sometimes people would ask him in the church, can I come and see you in your office? And he would stop them and say, whoa, 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 It's not my office. This is just the room that God has allowed me to occupy for a season. This office does not belong to me. I may be here for a season, but there will be someone after me. There was someone before me, and there'll be someone after me. So I am just here as, here it is, as a steward of the position. Hallelujah. I love in the book of Acts when the first deacons of our church, of the early church, were established. And you'll find that when the first deacons of the church was put into position, they were put in position with the primary function and purpose of serving and waiting on tables. Because there was a problem within the church. You had the widows within the church who were upset. The Hebrew-speaking widows and the Greek-speaking widows were having a conflict. The Greek-speaking widows felt overlooked, and the Hebrew widows were being treated on a higher position of worth. So deacons were put in place to sort out the issue and to bring about some sense of harmony in the church. But what I love about the first deacon church in the book of Acts is that they were called, here it is, to be waiters, to serve the people, so that the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and the preaching of God's word. And today, seemingly, I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about churches in general, sometimes we drift off into different perspectives of leadership. Who's got the authority? Who's got the power? Who's got the final say? Who's in charge? Who can hire? Who can fire? We've got to be very careful, church, not to get above our stations. God is the one who is in control. God has the power. God is the one who puts people, men and women, in positions of authority to serve for a season. And here it is, God can remove. He can put people in position, but the same people that he can put in position, he can remove. You see, what I found about God, God is the only one who will fire someone from a job and allow them still to occupy the position. Come here, Saul, in the Old Testament. King Saul was the king of Israel, but God took the anointing from him. But King Saul still had the kingship for a while. He had the position, but no anointing. He had the position, but no power. He had the position, but he did not have God's blessing. We've got to be very sensitive, all of us, whether we're business owners, whether we have leadership positions at work, whether we're parents, grandparents, whatever position God has given us the grace to lead in, we've got to take it with a sense of humility. We are accountable to the owner. And Jesus said that the owner came into the garden and he was looking at the tree, and the tree had to be accountable to the owner. Do you know that every single one of us, every human being in this world, will have one day give an account to God? We will be judged according to our deeds. Now, the good news for those who are born again in Christ Jesus is that we are not condemned. Hallelujah. So although, yes, we will be judged according to our fruit, but we will not be condemned because we have been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ has freed us from the penalty of sin. But we are still accountable to the owner. So number one, we're all accountable to the owner. But secondly, we can learn from this short story, friends, that yes, we're all accountable to the owner, but the owner is looking for something. Number two, the owner is looking for fruit. Say fruit with me, fruit. Where's the fruit? On this, well, it was, the sun was shining. On this beautiful day, I want you to imagine a beautiful red sports car. Can you see it in your mind? The paintwork is immaculate. The interior is decked out in leather with all the trimmings. Touchscreen entertainment system. High definition speakers so you can drive around Sittingbourne listening to your favorite tunes. And I want you to imagine, church, people walking by and looking at your car and thinking, what a beautiful car. That car looks incredible. But as the owner of this beautiful looking sports car on a beautiful summer's day, can you imagine breaking down on the motorway? And as your shiny red sports car is now parked up on the hard shoulder, people driving by with lesser value cars are looking at your beautiful red shiny car that is now stagnant on the hard shoulder. In other words, your car looks good on the eye, but it's no longer functioning within its primary purpose. Why? Because the car, church, was made and designed with its primary function to move. Not just to look good, but to keep it moving. The car was designed to travel, to get the owner from point A to point B. So if the car can no longer move, it is not functioning within its primary purpose. Or what about someone purchasing this summer a beautiful 60-inch smart TV? Maybe to watch the World Cup this summer and to see if England can finally lift the World Cup after all of these years of hurt. And when they invite their family and their friends over to have a lovely barbecue and to watch the World Cup, to watch England, can you imagine the embarrassment of the owner if they're trying to turn on the TV? Looks good, fixed to the wall, beautiful, looks great, but it doesn't work. What an embarrassment. Because the primary function of the smart TV is to turn on so that you can watch. That is the function of the tree in Luke chapter 13. The tree that represents you and me. We have been positioned in this earth. We have been graced the opportunity to live this life to produce something for God. And we have been called to produce spiritual fruit. And the question that the owner has for the tree, the question that the owner has for you and for me is simply put, where is the fruit? We have a manufacturer, just like the car, just like the TV. We have someone who has designed us. We have someone who has fashioned us, shaped us, and called us to be who the owner wants us to be. And when the owner inspects us, The owner is looking at our tree and he is saying, where is the fruit? I'm not just talking about how you look on the outside. Because we can look great on the eye, on the outside. We may look good, smell good, sound good. But God goes deeper than just the natural eye. The owner is able to inspect not just what man can see on the outside, but God examines the content and the basis of our hearts. That's why when David was anointed to be the next king of Israel to take Saul's place, David's father had some other candidates in mind. Some of his older sons, the ones who looked the part, dressed the part, they looked as if they could be the right candidate. But God had to let the priest know that it's not how man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. So the question for us today, simply put, is where is the fruit? There's a little story of when Jesus, he was speaking to the religious leaders, and he told them, he said, you guys are religious leaders, you have positions of authority, yes, you have prestige, and you have people following you, but here it is, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. In other words, on the outside, you look good, you look all neat and tidy, but on the inside, you're as dead as a tomb. We've got to be very careful, church, that we don't allow our righteousness to be only superficial. But God is looking for spiritual fruit. That's why Jesus would go on to tell the story in Matthew chapter 7, that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Ah. Yes, people may say, Lord, Lord. They may confess and preach the name of Jesus, but it's one thing to know and proclaim the name of Jesus, but do we demonstrate the nature of Jesus? It's one thing to know his name, but do we bear fruit that resembles the life and the character of Jesus? And Jesus told them a tree is known not by what they can say, but a tree is known by its fruit. So 3 years have elapsed in Luke chapter 13, and the owner has come to inspect the garden. And for 3 years, there was no fruit. For 3 years, the tree was in the garden, taking up space, but producing nothing. I believe, finally on this point, church, that you and I have to continuously search within our hearts to ensure that we are producing the fruit that the owner wants us to produce. Spiritual fruit. Just like we take our cars each year to get MOT checks, just like we take our cars to get serviced, we're going to make sure that our spiritual lives, are we growing? Are we developing? We're going to ask ourselves and look in the mirror and say, am I developing? Am I growing spiritually? Am I maturing to be a disciple of Christ? Do I, 3 years on, am I any closer to the Lord Jesus than I was 3 years ago? Amen. So the owner, we're accountable to the owner. Number two, the owner is looking for fruit. The owner's looking for fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness. But third and finally, church, the question is, what will we do with more time to grow? Say that with me. What will you do with more time to grow? What I love, church, about this story is although at first the owner came into the garden and said, where's the fruit? And then he said, you know what? Cut it down. Get rid of the tree. Fit for nothing. It's not producing fruit. But what I love about the story is that we see grace. Hallelujah. Because the gardener spoke up. The gardener spoke up and addressed the owner and said, hold on just a minute. I know you've come to inspect the garden. I know you want to cut down the tree. I know for 3 years it's produced nothing. But would you give it one more year? Aren't you glad that when you and I mess up and when we don't produce the fruit that God wants us to produce, and the owner could say within his own righteousness, cut them down, eliminate them. But aren't you glad that we have a gardener? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will step in and give us mercy where we fall short. When we should have been cut down, cut off from God, when we've been disobedient, when we've not followed the will of God, I'm so glad that God has given us more time to grow. The owner, the gardener said to the owner, give the tree some more time. Don't cut the tree down now, but give the tree some more time. Hallelujah. And that's really, it's really an illustration of the gospel message. You and I are blessed to have today. Whatever went wrong yesterday is over. But today we have been given time to make some changes. Hallelujah. We may not be producing fruit right now, but today we can put some changes in place so that we can begin to start producing fruit in our lives. I'm so glad that the owner God is not like human owners. Because human owners have a tendency to have limited grace. Oh, hallelujah. As long as you do the right things for me, then it's all good. But as long as you do something wrong, I'm going to chop you down. We'll fire you. We'll get rid of you. We'll replace you. But aren't you glad that we have a heavenly Father, the supreme owner, who although sometimes humanity gets it wrong, and although sometimes, yes, even us as Christians, we get it wrong, but thank God that he gives us more time to grow. There's a man right now in our community who perhaps even is cursing God. Saying, God, you are a fake and a phony. And by way of God's justice, he could take that person out just like that. There's a man right now who's speaking against God and the Holy Spirit. And by his justice, he could execute justice in that person's life just like that and cut them off. But do you know why they're still here? The mercy and the grace of God that has given them another opportunity to turn away from disobedience and to turn to truth. Do you know, in the previous verses of Luke chapter 13, Jesus tells a wonderful story. I want you to read it when you get home, from Luke chapter 13, verse 1. He tells a story of a tragedy that took place with the Galileans. What happened was, is that Pilate had ordered the murder of some Galileans. And In speaking to the crowd, Jesus said, do you think that those individuals who, for no fault of their own, were murdered senselessly and taken out of this life, do you think that those individuals who were murdered were worse sinners than those who are alive in Galilee? And Jesus said, no. Those that died in a senseless murder, in a tragedy, they were not worse sinners than those who were spared. They were not worse sinners. You see, sometimes we think and we look when there's tragedy or when sometimes bad things happen, and sometimes we start to get curious, oh, I wonder what they did. It reminds me of the story of the man that was born blind, and some of the disciples said, who sinned? Was it the man or his parents? And Jesus says, what are you talking about? The man didn't sin. It wasn't about sin. But he was born blind so that the works of God could be performed in his life. I'm here to encourage not just all of us here today, but the whole community of Sittingbourne, the whole nation, the whole world. God is giving us time. But the question is, what will we do with the time? Jesus said, the gardener said to the owner, I'm going to give you one more year. And then if there's no fruit after one more year, then I'll cut it down. I want to say finally in closing about this, on this point, yes, there's grace in this story, and we thank God that the owner gives us grace. But here's the sobering thought about this. Although the tree was given one more year, more time to grow, you and I, yes, we may receive grace to grow, but here's the thing. Unlike the tree, we don't know how much more time. That's sobering. Yes, grace is freely available to the world, but here's the thing. We don't know how much more time. What that lets us know is that we can't rest on our laurels and think, oh, yeah, well, I'm a young man, I'm a young woman. I've got time, I'm not sick, I ain't got no ailments. Blood pressure's good. Absolutely. I went to the doctors the other day, they gave me a good report. Yep, let's have it. I'm good, I'm healthy. I've got many more years ahead of me, and I can make a decision years down the line to change my life and give my life to God. But as for now, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, allow things to be. Let it be for a while. That's a dangerous, dangerous game. Yes, the owner gives us grace and gives us time, but we don't know how much more time. The tree was given one more year, but we don't know how much time we will be given. So that's why the Bible says, today, the day that you hear his voice, hallelujah, don't put it off for another year, but the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but allow Jesus to come into your life so that you can bear and produce fruit. So I want to make an appeal today. Number one, we're going to pray for the Christians. We're going to pray that we would not lose sight of our accountability to God. Yes, we are saved by Jesus and we're redeemed. We know where we're going. But have we lost sight of that accountability to God? And then, secondly, I want to pray for anyone here today, you've not yet given your life to Christ. Maybe you're thinking about it and you're saying, well, maybe I'll wait until Christmas time. Maybe I'll wait, I missed Easter this year, so I'll wait until next year Easter. We don't know how much more time we will have. The Son of Man is going to make his return. And he's told us he's coming back, but he's not given us the date or the time. But what he has told us, church, is that he's coming. And he's coming like a thief in the night. That lets us know he's coming unexpectedly. He said there'll be two in the field. One shall be taken and the one shall remain. There'll be two in the bed. One shall be taken, the other shall remain. We have to be ready for when Jesus makes his return. Don't just be like that fig tree planted in the garden, but not producing what the tree was designed to produce. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and this is a sobering word. But first and foremost, we are accountable to the owner. And Lord, all of us have to give an account to you. And we recognize, Lord, that we don't always get it right. So would you forgive us? Would you cleanse us from all unrighteousness? So that we can not just be stagnant in the garden, in the earth, but that we can produce fruit. Because when we produce spiritual fruit for you, it brings glory to your name. So help us, Lord, not just to have a form of godliness, but deny the very power thereof. Help us not just to talk the talk, but help us to walk the walk. Help us to love like Jesus. Help us to be kind like Jesus. Help us to be forgiving like Jesus. Help us to embody your peace, your love, your joy. And Lord, we pray collectively as a church that we would recognize that you are in charge. You are the owner of the garden. You are the owner of the vineyard. Help us, Lord, to take, for those of us who have positions of stewardship in this church, help us to take it with sincerity and with reverence. That there were people here before us and there will be people here after us. We are not King Kong in this place. We're really just Curious George. Help us to be reliant upon you, because you are the owner. And finally, I pray for anyone here today who, because of your great love, has been given more time to grow. I pray today, whether it's man or woman, boy or girl, that they would make a decision to say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to be accountable to the owner. I want to produce fruit for your glory and for your honor. And we can't produce fruit unless we are connected to the vine. So help us now to make a decision to allow Jesus to come into our lives, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back. Hallelujah.
Sorry, do I need to put the other mic back on? Nah. Cool. So we're going to end the service with the song In Christ Alone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to close with these words from Paul in Philippians chapter 2 as we reflect on the word of the Lord today, that God has called us to be accountable to the owner, God, that the owner is looking for fruit, but through the grace and the love of the owner and the gardener, Father and the Son, he has given us time to produce fruit. And this is what Philippians 2 says about Jesus. And this I want us to take this home. That all of us as trees in God's garden, that we're to have this sense of humility. I'm praying that would reign in our church. Humility. We need humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. From myself to anyone in this church, we've got to be very careful. God don't like pride. We've got to remain humble. And if we're not demonstrating humility, then there's a problem. This is what Paul has to say about Jesus. He says, Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. And wherefore now God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Father, as we are dismissed now from this place, we pray that we would leave recognizing that we are accountable to the owner. And the owner is looking for fruit. And positions and power don't impress you, but what you are looking for is people who have that heart of humility, that are willing to serve this present age and to point people in the way of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we leave now, we pray, Lord, that we would inspect our trees so that we can produce fruit for you. Help us not just to be stagnant, just to be in the garden, in the vineyard, and not growing, but help us to utilize the time that you have given us so that we can bring glory to your name. Dismiss us now from this place, but never from your presence. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. If you need prayer, if anyone needs prayer, then there will be a team over in the prayer corner to my right, to your left here on the lower level. They'll be happy to meet you and pray with and for you. And if you want to make a decision for Christ, then please meet us in the prayer corner as well. God bless you all. Have a great week.